So tonight we're going to be in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. We're kind of, again, reading most of the chapter, but we're kind of skipping around a little bit. But tonight we'll be in Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 8, and then we'll skip down a little bit. So chapter 24 of Exodus, verse number 3, it says, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord hath said we will do, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar unto the hill, the 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put on the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, 'All that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.'" We'll skip down to verse 12. "The Lord said unto Moses, 'Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stones, and the law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them.' And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount, and he said unto the elders, 'Tarry ye here for us.'" So he included Joshua in that. "For us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them." And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. The seventh day he called unto Moses out amidst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain, the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So, again, we're kind of looking at study Joshua and the life of Joshua before the book. And so, although he's kind of just quickly mentioned, how did Joshua get to this point? Or why is he with Moses? What's the significance of all this? And we read this passage at the end of a very big moment for Israel. And I think tonight will kind of help us as we go through this passage and the preceding chapters as well. So with that said, though, let's get started. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the safety you gave us. I pray you just bless this time together. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Waiting can be tough. We know patience is important, but patience isn't always available. I mean, we don't like to wait. We like things to be immediate. We want it to be finished. We want it just to appear, right? I mean, I know yesterday I was, came home a little at 12-ish or so, and Rachel was getting some leftover spaghetti because he had pasta. I think it was Friday night maybe, and we know we always have too much pasta or meat sauce, and so we had some spaghetti. Well, the water was boiling, and she started it, and I was kind of keeping an eye on it, and I was waiting for it, watching it very intently, because I wanted the pasta to be ready, right? And it's then one bubble, two bubbles, three, four bubbles came up, and it's like, ah! And I was going to break some in, and she's like, "It's not ready." I'm like, "It's boiling, it's like four bubbles." And she's like, "It's not bubbling profuse, or it's not boiling profusely." And I look at the box, it just said the boil, amen, it doesn't say boil profusely, so... Anyways, I was kind of impatient, didn't want to wait. But, you know, obviously, it worked out okay. We got the spaghetti good, ready, and it was pretty good. So, we survived. But we know most things take time. And with that said, we know good things come to those who wait. Yet as humans, waiting goes against our plans. We look at waiting as a negative, while there are obviously times when... waiting is tough. The reality is waiting is a part of faith. And God expects us to be patient in our walk with Him. After all, God is patient. He is long-suffering. God sets the standards. I mean, no leader asks his followers to do something that the leader himself is not willing to do. And I think God is definitely one who leads by example. Again, we like action, amen? We like progress because we like to move. And as humans, we like to be moving. Why? It is because we believe moving is progress. And while it is true, progress cannot be seen without effort or movement, I believe progress does involve patience. Remember, if God's work only required effort, then a Christian life would seem a lot easier. However, walking by faith wouldn't be faith without waiting on God, amen, as we move forward by faith. A simple definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now, faith isn't trusting in our works or actions. No, biblical faith is trusting God's work or His actions. Now, I believe Exodus 24 gives us a time when His people have to wait on God. Of course, while they were waiting, they were able to see something magnificent. They see what the Bible calls God's glory in verse 16 and 17. Look, it says, "In the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." So that Israel could see what God was doing. They could see the mount. They couldn't obviously zoom in. They didn't have that type of telescope yet, but they could see something was different. They could see God's glory was descending upon the mountain. They knew that Moses was going up there. And so this passage gives us the next lesson that then God wants to teach Joshua. We know this morning Joshua saw moving forward involve action, and it does. However, we can't forget the second part of our theme. By faith involves patience. It involves waiting on God. You see, we can move forward in our own strength, and we could. You know, we could try to do it. We may be able to reach some people. You know, we probably could grow a little. Yet, I mean, because let's face it, anyone can grow a weed, right? Amen. But sometimes weeds are not exactly the most useful. All right? I mean, that's why we have a weed eater, right? The weed whacker, or whatever you want to call it. We want to get rid of it, right? But if we move forward by faith, then that's when we can make the real difference. And while tonight God is trying to teach Joshua a different lesson, God's purpose was the same. God wanted to prepare Joshua. He wanted to prepare Joshua for future blessings. You see, God's blessing will be upon those who live and walk by faith. So, while it sounds simple, waiting can be tough. Because waiting goes against our human nature. But waiting on God is a good indicator of a strong walk with God. What do I mean by this? Well, I think Exodus gives us the progression of Israel's relationship with God. Waiting means, watch this, waiting means you have taken the first step of faith. You have made a commitment to follow God. You have made the right choice. I mean, we didn't just appear here. For Israel, Exodus 14 gives us the moment of commitment. It was the crossing the Red Sea, and Israel chose to move forward. And God doesn't just randomly pick out people. He works in specific ways. And God wasn't new to Israel. And thankfully, Israel wasn't new to God. And God doesn't just thumb through a phone book in heaven and say, "I'm going to do this to this person." No, that's not how God works. I mean, God works in mysterious ways, but God is paying attention. He knows those who trust in God. And nothing surprises God. Plus, God has always shown Israel what He could do. He is waiting for us to be obedient. And it's our choice to follow God in our lives. It's a choice we all must make. And with that said, waiting also means you have a history with God's work. I think Israel shows us that. God performed miracles for them. He gave them proof. In Egypt, God used, obviously, the plagues as a sign of his power for Israel. And God wanted to show them that he can be trusted. And the message was received by Israel. They chose to move forward. Of course, God's miracles didn't stop there. No. This morning, we saw what God did to provide for his people. You know, we aren't supposed to doubt God. Yet sometimes, trials can mess up our focus. I mean, we're still sinners. Saved sinners, but still sinners. With that said, I'm so glad that God performed the miracle of the food this morning, that he sent manna and the quail, and also he sent the miracle of the water to give to the people of Israel. And we know that obviously God showed his power in battle when God gave them a victory against Amalek. God had a plan for Israel. But I also believe that this part of God's history, of God's blessing for his people, it wasn't the end. And God wasn't new. God showed Israel what he could do many times. So, waiting means you have taken the first step of faith. Waiting means you have a history with God. But waiting means you have heard God's word. Because God never hides his word from his people. In Exodus 19, verses 1 through 6, it tells us of a changing, that tells us that God reaches out to his people in a personal way. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God and the Lord, called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so God tells them that he wants them to obey. He wants to have a personal relationship with his people. Remember, God is a personal God. He is what they call the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Before, he's the God of Israel. I mean, that's pretty personal. But the proof of this is in Exodus 20, God begins and shares the Ten Commandments. It was the beginning of God sharing his word with his people. God shared his laws and regulations for the new land. And after all, God expects his people to act different from the world. Now, this new way to live wasn't a punishment or bondage. Egypt was bondage. But God still has a way that he wants us to live. And these are given to us in Exodus 21 through 23. God promises presence, his presence and his protection if we will follow and obey his directions. Now, God gives us his expectations, so there's no excuse for mankind. God does want the best for our lives. We know that. It all boils down to what? It boils down to one thing, our response. In chapter 24, as we read, gives us a response from his people, Israel. They took the first steps of faith. They definitely have a history with God's work, and they have heard God's word. Well, waiting means you'll be on another level. You have chosen to be on board with God's plan. Let's think about it. Most of what God has done has been for his namesake. He brought Israel out of Egypt by saying, let my people go. He brought, when Egypt tried to put his powers in doubt, he sent the plagues. Israel needed food, God sent the food. With the battle of Amalek, God allowed his people to win. Why? So nobody could say, look at when Israel died in the wilderness, when they died, whatever trial they went through, God provided for them, because that way no one could say, see, I told you, God is a liar. He would not provide for his people. We know that God definitely came through during every situation. God is able, because his name is at stake, and it's still at stake today. But having said that, God spelled out his expectations for his people. The relationship is now different. God told Moses to share these expectations. The beginning of chapter 24, verse 3, tells us the ball is in the people's court. It was Israel's turn to decide what they will do. Because God always laid it out. He set the table for them. They could come and eat. Well, they could say, I'm good. I'm not hungry right now. Let's try it on our own. Well, what do they do? Well, it sounds easy. They needed to make sure they made this decision serious. Why? Because of the person who they were making a commitment to. It was God. And look at how many times God includes unto the Lord. It says verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8. He says unto the Lord. At the end of verse 3, the people said that all the words which the Lord has said will we do. Verse 4. Moses wrote all the word of the Lord. Verse 5. He sent young men and children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And then verse 7 says, he read the book of the covenant, read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And it says, behold the covenant which the Lord had made with thee, with you concerning all these words in verse 8. So clearly, it's important. You know, and after they decided to take that next step, God, or Moses, sacrificed the animals. And he poured the blood on the altar. And then he turns to Israel and is like, are you ready for this? Remember, this is an important relationship. It's a covenant, a promise that only that God, he's making with God. And the blood was already on the altar to God. And the blood was a symbol of the covenant being established. When the people said yes, he sprinkled the blood onto the people. Now, probably not all of them, because there's a lot of people. But when they get on the ground, it was a sign that, hey, it was already on the altar of God. But you made as a decision, so the covenant is now in session. It is now ready. It was a promise between the people and God. See, this is the next level of relationship with God. God has a future, but God requires obedience, and this is seen with the covenant. So once everyone agreed to the covenant, God wants to speak to his leader. It's a very important message to Moses. Verse 12 tells us that God is going to write the commandments onto the stones, and we know that's a great opportunity. God wants Moses to teach them to share, and that's obviously a great task. While God definitely calls Moses up there alone, look at who Moses includes to come with them. Who goes with them? Verse 13 says, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. I believe this is all this is all part of the training process. The first lesson was action with battle. And with that said, God has another lesson for Joshua. And I believe the lesson's about patience. What do I mean? Well, look at verse 14. That he said unto the elders, tarry ye here until we come again. Because Moses included Joshua. He says, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. And so, verse 15 says that Moses went up into the mount. And that they see them waiting. But look at verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. You see, God is trying to teach, even though Joshua went to the next level with Moses, and maybe Joshua didn't obviously go up with Moses in the cloud, but he's as close as anyone else did. He was as close to God as anyone was going to be at this moment, and God is trying to teach Joshua one more lesson as he waits to move forward. See, Exodus 24 is a climax of the high point of Exodus. Because before that, we know the miracles that God performed. We know that they start in the wilderness. And then after that, chapter 19, again, we talked about how his relationship with God has changed. And now he gives them the laws. And the book of 24 tells us that they established the covenant between God and Israel. And Israel, or Joshua, was involved in this covenant. And he said, I am with them. We'll make the promise. And the rest of Exodus is about how God wants his worship. It talks about the Ark of the Covenant. It talks about the tabernacle and how he wants to design the specific design of that. He talks about the Levites and the priests. Why? Because they made a covenant. They promised in the previous 19 to 20 to 24. And the 24 says they agree to it. And they saw the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord is not just a one-time moment. They didn't see all of it because nobody can see the whole thing and live. But I think it's important to note that, yes, God specifically called Moses, but Joshua was right there too. And I think it's important for us to realize that, yes, I get that, that Joshua wasn't right there. But I believe that God wanted Moses, want Moses to share exactly what he did with Joshua, give him the extra time because God has a plan for Joshua. And since they made the covenant, well, the rest of Exodus is filled with what God expects from his people, how to keep that covenant. And yes, we know that things didn't go so well with the golden calf. We know because that's human nature. And that we're going to break the covenant as sinners. Yet God still gave his expectations to his people. Because God always wants the best for us. And so we know that this part is the climax, the high point of Exodus. And decisions were made, and Joshua was definitely involved in the commitment. And Joshua had to learn a lesson to fulfill God's purpose for his life. I know Joshua, again, didn't go up there, but I think there was two reasons for why Joshua for being there. It says, first, I think it was to serve God. God told Moses to go up there, and Moses told Joshua to come with him. So this was all part of the process. And with that said, to serve God, it's not all about action. There's patience needed to be God's leader. God is showing Joshua that he may seem alone. I mean, Moses was up there for 40 days. But even though you may seem like you're alone when you're waiting, when you're really waiting, you're never alone. See, God is with him. And while he was waiting, I doubt Joshua knew how long it would take. In fact, I doubt Moses knew how long. But the important part is that Joshua had to learn to wait. And we understand that Joshua needed to know what God wanted for the promised land, how to worship God. Because worship is a very important part of relationship with God. And while it may seem like Joshua is a minor part of this passage, I don't think Joshua could have been, I know Joshua could not have been the leader that he was without the lesson God had for him. And even though Joshua was a fighter, he was a man of action. Moving forward does involve waiting. It involves patience. Of course, waiting may feel lonely, but we are never alone. As long as we are obedient to God, then he is with us. I don't know what was going through Joshua's mind, but I'm sure this was not an easy time for him. However, God had a purpose for this as he waited there 40 days and 40 nights. And as we move forward as a church, God wants us to be involved. We talked about this morning. And while God wants us to be active, we can't forget the second half of our theme. Moving forward, action. But how? By faith. And frankly, when we do it by faith, that's what's going to make the difference. Will it be easy? No. We'll experience tough times in our service. In fact, we may go through moments when we ask, is this journey worth it? Is putting in the effort worth it? Is putting in the effort to move forward worth it? The answer is yes. Yes, it is worth it. Serving God will always be worth it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to cost us some things. In fact, we talked of a little price sheet of the outreach things that we have in mind, the materials that we need. It costs. But that's where faith comes in. You know, as I was adding these up, it's like, well, this is more than I thought. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, it's a little more. What's going to happen? Well, but I believe it's important for us to learn the lesson of patience as well. And as we try to be active, as we try to put these things into play, if you will, as we try to get moving forward, you know, as we try to be active, things may not go the way we want. We may have times when we have to show faith, amen. That's where the church should be, amen. There's going to be times whenever it may not be as simple as we think it's going to be. And we may not get where I want to or where you want us to go as fast as we may want. But as long as we are under God's plan, and as long as you're doing it God's way, thankfully God's way is the best. As long, because, again, I don't like to wait. Most humans don't want to wait, but God is a God of patience and God of love. So as long as we are faithful to his plan, as long as we wait on him, then God is going to perform his will. We just need to trust him. God does want us to work. You know, and the reality is we can't grow without being active. But we must have faith as we are busy. Why? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if we wait on God, then he will renew our strength. Besides, it's only by his strength that he'll make an impact. See, I was thinking about this a little while back. Actually, I don't know how long, maybe a few years ago, but kind of got to my mind. The Lord brought it back to memory as I was reviewing this and kind of getting ready. If God gave us a menu option, a prices for visitors, members, and so on and so forth, I'm sure we would be willing to pay up. I know I would. But the truth is that all God wants us to give is our effort and our actions. But we must serve and work and do those things by faith. We must be patient, knowing that in due time, God will bless. After all, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7 about how God's going to give the increase. You know, faith is required to have God's blessings. And we have to have some patience to wait on God. You know, I think Israel had to wait. And we know that, obviously, their patience was not the best because, you know, they messed up with the golden calf a little later. But I think it's important for them to also know that there's a reason that they were waiting. They were waiting on God because God's plan was still being worked out. Because God always has a plan for his people. And we just need to be willing to stay patient, stay obedient. Because when we do, then great things are going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see what God has in store for us at Victory Baptist Church. Let's pray.